Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is Todd Tomasella, and I've got Travis Bryan III on the other line. Good morning, Brother Travis. How are you?
Top of the morning to you, Todd.
Absolutely, brother. Today we're going to be talking, ladies and gentlemen, about the dynamics of the daily cross. Now, this is going to be a fascinating look at the cross. This is an unheard of message in our day. And I'm going to tell you, this is, I'm definitely one of Travis's least students, or the Lord's least students, that he has used Travis to help me with. But I can tell you what, it's revolutionized my life. I don't know what I would do without this message, which is seen throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, as Brother Travis often helps us to realize and see right there in Scripture that we already know. I don't know where I'd be without this message, Brother Travis, and understanding that I must participate with Christ in agreement that there's no good thing in me and that it must die. As Paul said in Romans 7:18, there's nothing, no good thing that dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Now, Brother Travis, is that why we have to have the cross? That there's in fallen man, there's no good thing.
Absolutely. There's no glory in the flesh. We put no confidence in the flesh. We must be transformed, Todd, from a caterpillar into a butterfly. The process of metamorphosis, spiritual metamorphosis, comes about through our participation with Christ. And these prepositions are huge. In Christ, with Christ, through Christ. All of that is referring by the Apostle Paul mainly, and then secondarily the Apostle John in the first chapter of 1 John. And then even Peter, when he refers to it as a participation or a partaking the divine nature in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. So we are brought into the story of Christ. Jesus walked on the earth 2,000 years ago, and he had a head and a body. And now we are reenacting the pattern of his living, his suffering, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. We are all, in an invisible way, participating again with him in the reenactment of the pattern of his life, death, and resurrection. And so the Christian life is just a fellowship with him in that story, the repeat of that story going on over and over in our lives, Todd, is the mystery that Paul talks about, the fellowship of the mystery. Ephesians 3, verse 9.
In Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, a lot of people believe this has to do with water baptism. But what is the concept here, brother? I'll read this passage and let you speak to it. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then verse 5, planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin, unquote. That brings up that manifestation of what you were just talking about, brother, if I could throw that in there. And I got to give a personal testimony that I was having a difficult time overcoming sin at certain times in my Christian life that was ruling over me until this cross began to come into the center. And this is this says it all right here. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I mean, you talk a lot about how people try harder, but they just need to die harder, per se, to wave the white flag, to say, to let go and let God. And that's the only way that there's going to be an overcoming of sin and a pleasing of God. Brother, would you agree with that?
Oh, I totally would agree. And death is the only deliverance from all the things that enslave us and dominate us in the world. You know, the spirit of the world itself has a dominion. Satan's tyranny. The bondage to self must be broken. The bondage to the sin nature, this flesh that we all are slaves to. All of these bondages and slaveries, and the Bible speaks of the law as a bondage and a slavery. The Mosaic law. So the cross breaks the hold of all these chains. It cuts away the chains and frees us, Todd, to fly like that butterfly, to be transcendent in our life. Not that we don't have problems anymore. Oh, yes, we do. As a matter of fact, the problems are the very things that deliver us, because they bring on this death, and it's only through the cross that we're delivered and freed from bondage, redeemed from the slave market of sin. And this chapter here, Romans 6, is of crucial value. And you're exactly right, Todd. It's sad how many theologians attribute water to this passage. And
there's no water in this passage.
Baptism is fine. I have nothing against water baptism, but you must realize that it is only symbolic. It has no salvific value in and of itself.
Amen.
It only symbolizes the reality of this dry spiritual baptism into Christ. Our death with Christ is a spirit baptism, and we are brought in through that death, through that baptism, into this participation, this fellowship with Christ in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection. And so then we can participate with him in his resurrection life and power, Todd, and that is the only way that sin can be defeated, is through death.
Amen.
Burial and resurrection, because that severs the chains. The fetters of a bondage are cut in two by the cross, Todd.
Amen. That is the gospel in our daily life, isn't it, brother? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's why participation is so essential, because that's participating in being crucified, agreeing with God that we're crucified with Christ. And then after that comes the burial and the resurrection, which is a victory, huh, brother?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I heard one guy say, and I agreed one time, that most of Christianity is kind of sitting out in the audience watching this enactment take place up on the stage. But, you know, this participation calls you out of your seat in the audience and calls you up onto the stage to actually participate yourself in this story of the cross, Todd.
Yes.
The word of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18. The word is logos in Greek. You could translate that the story of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved or saved, it is the power of God. So this story of the cross, we are introduced by life situations, and the Holy Spirit itself, we are brought into, we step into an actual reenactment, both individually and corporately as the church, the reenactment of the body of Christ. He is now our head, and we are his body, going through that same mysterious pattern that he went through when he was a man visible on earth himself.
Amen. You know, this morning I read Jonah 2, and you're saying there that through the things that happen in life, we as the disciples of Christ experience the depths of the cross. I was fascinated how Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. He was being carried in a place that he didn't actually plan or decide to be carried by himself. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. He was running from God, and through his own failure and bad direction, he ran right into God. But he had to go into the belly of this big fish, and that is Jonah chapter 2, Todd, is the exact type of thoughts that and prayers and waiting and everything that we go through when we experience the death and burial with Christ. If you read Jonah right there in the belly of that whale with the seaweed all around, wrapped around him, and the fears and the aloneness and the darkness and everything that was happening with him, that is what it's like to go through this cross. And
Amen.
But, you know, he was vomited up on the shore, and then resurrection, that was resurrection.
Yes.
The Lord brought him out of the belly of hell there in that whale, and he walked into that city, and Todd, he didn't even get his words halfway out. And 120,000 people got saved. That's the resurrection life and power of Christ, that newness of life that we walk in, and the power that does not come from us, but flows out of the cross, Todd.
Amen. You know, there cannot be a resurrection life of Christ teeming within us and anointing us, as only God can do, without that death. First, that agreeing with God that we must be crucified with Christ and dead to the deeds of the body. I love the way 2 Corinthians puts that and how it ends, because it ends on the up note of resurrection. Paul says in verse 10 through 12 of 2 Corinthians 4, he's talking about under persecution and being vexed, troubled on every side, and how yet the treasures of God are in these earthen vessels. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I mean, there it is right there. When the death of Christ is being born in us, then the life also, and this is the design of God, the word that is pivotal, mm-hmm. that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's how ministry works, as you're pointing out there, right? I mean, the resurrection of Christ teeming through.
Yes, and life springs out of death, Todd. That is a key point of the mystery. Glory springs out of suffering. Comfort comes out of affliction. And you see it everywhere in nature, in our own bodies, throughout every page of the Bible. You know, I was down working out not long ago, and when I walked out of the gym, I mean, my muscles were just trembling. They were so fatigued and so tortured by the 1 hour that I'd spent in there. And I'm thinking, how in the world can this make me stronger? This is making me weaker. But 2 days later, Todd, I had a fresh strength and a newness in me that I had not had before I went to the gym for that 1 hour. So it's only as we're made weak through the cross in our flesh and in our human ability and in our own methodologies and our own identity that we've built up since we were born. That has to be torn down, and that is done through the cross. But as it's torn down, it's replaced, rebuilt, and a new creation comes forth, a renewal, a newness of life, a new man comes out of the cross. Out of this tearing down comes a magnificent structure. And
absolutely.
But we must remember that we have to not resist the cross when it comes to us. I mean, that's kind of how we can not experience this transformation. We resist the cross, Todd. And that is our part, is not to resist. I mean, you know, when these life situations come to us, they're going to make us lose control and collapse and fall and be knocked down. And this occurs through any number of ways. If you look at Job, and you can see 5 or 6 different ways that Satan came at him and stripped him, tore him down, reduced him to sitting in ashes and scraping himself with a potsherd. But look at the end of the book. There you see resurrection. There you see a new relationship with God. There you see the results of the cross. And, you know, the book teaches that God did not do that to him directly. He turned him over to Satan for a good purpose, to bring Job to a point where he really knew God in a new way and would lose his arrogance of self-justification, which Job 32:1 indicates. He was, although not a sinner in the sense that we think of today, he wasn't a drunk or a liar or a thief, but he was a little bit arrogant, and he had to lose that. And the way it happened was through the cross experience thousands of years before the cross. Job went through this. So
yes.
Life springs out of death, Todd. There is no newness of life without first a death. And so for the listener, I would say don't resist it when it comes to you. That's the key on our part. To not resist it means to walk out into the world and present your body as a living sacrifice. And then you will be transformed through the death. The renewal and the transforming of your mind will occur through the cross. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, Todd.
Amen. Where Paul said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's the death, burial, and resurrection right there, brother. Is that correct?
No, absolutely. The death is in verse 1. The resurrection is in verse 2. And that in a capsule, two verses is the entire story of the Christian walk from beginning to end right there. And then the rest of that chapter, chapter 12 in Romans, goes down and shows you the conduct, the behavior of a person who has experienced the cross, who does not overcome evil with evil anymore. In other words, it's not tit for tat or eye for eye anymore. It's loving your enemies, overcoming evil with good, an upside-down kind of life comes forth from the cross, Todd.
Yes, I mean, the last verse in that chapter, Romans 12, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. But if we back up a little bit, beginning in verse 14, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things in the honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In other words, vengeance is not ours, is it? It's God's.
No, revenge not yourself.
Yeah, therefore, if
the
enemy
hungers, this is the Sermon on the Mount, Todd, right here, restated by Paul in Romans 12. Mm. And the Sermon on the Mount life, Matthew 5 through 7, Sermon on the Mount, and Luke 6, Sermon on the Plain, which is just like the Sermon on the Mount, all of that kind of living cannot be done, Todd, without first a death to self. We have to die this participatory death with Christ. For this kind of supernatural way of these virtues of Christ to flow out of us, the life of Christ flows out of us as we participate with him daily in his death. I always bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:10. And let me say also, Todd, for the listeners, these words right here are all referring to this fellowship with Christ in union with him. That's another word that's crucial. In union with him, we experience his death, burial, and resurrection. And those words are participate is another word for fellowship. And these are huge words for Paul. Communion. When he says communion, that is, for instance, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the communion of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's referring to here, this fellowship. The word fellowship itself, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he uses this word in sort of an all-inclusive way. In verse 9, he says, 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you know, the old trite saying, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. There, that word relationship is another word for fellowship, participation, communion. Partaker in the King James Bible is a big word referring to us as partakers of Christ. The book of Hebrews written by Paul is full of this concept. It refers in Hebrews 3:1 to partakers of the heavenly calling. 3:14, partakers of Christ. 6:4, partakers of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 2:13 and 14, Jesus came down and partook of flesh and blood and even partook of our death. In other words, he participated with us. so that we can turn around and then participate with him in who he is. So he took on all of our weakness, all of our corruption, all of our sin. He took it on himself, into himself even, I believe. In that moment on the cross, died. He died our death. He participated in our death to defeat death. And so now we are allowed to participate in his divine nature, Todd.
Amen. And that's what 2 Peter says, right? Partakers
absolutely.
Of the divine nature. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a blessing, brother. You know,
the John 15 vine, Todd, the branch in the vine is just another picture of this participation. We participate in we as branches participate in the vine of Christ.
And it's interesting, the resurrection progression there in John 15. Jesus, in this order, says, we'll bring forth as we abide in him and participate in his gospel daily, the death, burial, and raising up, we'll bear fruit, then more fruit, and then much fruit. Now, we've got a few minutes left here, Brother Travis. I'm seeing something as you're talking here as somewhat of a parallel. I wanted you to maybe comment on this. The Apostle Paul and Jonah, along with, I'd imagine, every man who ever walked with God, but on record, it appears that obviously Jonah didn't say, oh, yeah, Lord, just take me in for a little ride in down at the bottom of the ocean in this big fish. He didn't volunteer for this. Paul certainly didn't ask God to give him a thorn in the flesh. He cried out for it to be removed. So is this not kind of like, you know, if you've been a child before, which all of us adults have, our parents loved us, in particular our father, and he knew what was best for us. We didn't at that time because we were young and undeveloped in our minds. But he would take us through things that would, especially us gentlemen, that would be painstaking, but ultimately they yielded things that we're so glad that we have with us and in us today and working in us. And does the Lord do that in each of the lives of his people at some point, brother? Take them to a place that they would have never chose. And yet when they come out the other end, they're so glad, as the old folks used to say, I wouldn't give nothing for my journey. Can you speak to that, brother?
Well, I think so, and you're right about Jonah. He didn't get it until he got down in the belly of the whale. But at that point, when he was at his lowest point, he did turn to God. So his faith turned to God when he was at the bottom. And, of course, that is the crucial moment. When this cross takes you down deep into that death and you are at the bottom, now you've got a choice to make there. You can do as Job's wife suggested that he do and say, and curse God and die. Mm. And you can shake your fist at God and say, God, you're not really who you say you are. You wouldn't have let this happen to me. See, there's the great mistake that people make when they get to the bottom. They've heard about God being blessing. All they've been taught is God blesses the good and curses the evil. But no, the cross comes to everybody. And when you get down at that bottom, you've got two choices. You can curse God and shake your fist at him and walk away from him, which is what a lot of people do, and the devil wins the victory there, Todd.
Yes.
Or you can accept it. You can accept the cross. You can accept your low estate and turn to him in faith, taking your eyes off yourself finally, giving up control finally, and look to God and cry out to him. That's where we need to get to, Todd. We all have to get at some.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful point. You know, 1 Peter 4, I believe it's verse 1, says, he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. We, this people listening to me today, and you've been born again, and you know your life is not right as it should be, because inside there's a conviction, and that's the gift of God. And the conjoining truth here between the defeat and the victory has to be seen through the cross. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, that cross taking center stage in our lives is the only way, through the suffering of the cross, the death to self, which God has to help us with. We're not alone. But somewhere you cried out to God to be saved, and possibly and probably cried out to God to just have his way in you. And I believe, Brother Travis, he's heard that prayer in each of his people. He doesn't forget anything. And he's bottled up that prayer. And he's actually answering that prayer. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this to happen in my life? What are you doing? You know, this is Jonah right here in chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this
Absolutely.
Brought him to the depths of himself. I mean, we walk in the pride of life so greatly. I can speak by experience, regrettably, in this regard. But, you know, and then God is so gracious that he takes us down into the depths of despair so that we can have the opportunity to choose, like Jonah did in verse 2 of the second chapter of Jonah, to cry out to God, you know, when there's only one way to look, and that's up. You know you're in a good
exactly.
place, a safe place. But that suffering, that place, that crucible has to come about in each life. And Romans 8, 13, and 14, I love it. It says,
yeah.
If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, capital S, do mm-hmm. mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, next time you pray for me, if any of you guys would like to do that, and I sure would covet it, I believe Brother Travis would agree with me on this. If you pray for Brother Travis, if you pray for me, you know, pray that I'd be anointed to be crucified with Christ to the death of self so that Christ alone may reign. You know, that's a great prayer, Brother Travis, for us to pray for each other, wouldn't it be?
Oh, it is, Todd. And notice that word with. Now, that you capitalize that word. That may be the most important word in the verse, crucified with Christ. Christ is in with you, in you, and you're in him. You are environed by him when you go through these things. You're enveloped in Christ, and you go through it with him, in him, and through him. And that all things go back to God, you know, with Christ, through Christ, in Christ. God is transforming the world, and he's doing it through love, Todd, the love of the cross. But he allows all of us to have our free will. You know, he doesn't make robots out of us, but he allows these circumstances, the devil, and then, you know, turns us over to him within limits and allows these cross moments to come to us in hopes that we will respond in faith and grow in grace, Todd.
You know, do you get surprised sometimes? Should you now have, as God has brought you through this process, and something will happen that you used to really respond and react to it with just vitriolic, acidic, ugly
mm-hmm.
sin. Driving in traffic, somebody cuts you off. I guess years ago that would jolt me and scare me. My reaction was a lot different back then, much more colorful in an ugly way than it would be now. And it's an immediate prayer for the person and thanking God that we're both saved. And, you know, that can only be by that resurrection life of Christ, which is preceded by that participation you're talking about, Brother Travis. This is an absolutely fascinating, you can't get away from it if you love the Lord, message, ladies and gentlemen. This, I just want to encourage you to read all of the short post articles by Brother Travis Bryant on SafeguardYourSoul.com. Again, if you go to SafeguardYourSoul.com, around the right column on every page are the categories. If you go down, it's alphabetical, to the T's. You'll see, Brother, it'll say Travis Bryant at third. Click on there, and you'll be loaded with messages from Scripture that are just masterfully illustrated by how Brother Travis puts it. That'll just bless your life in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. You know, the faith of the operation of God is that resurrection life, isn't it, Brother? Where that comes out of, as Colossians 2, 11 and 12 speaks of here in our closing moments. You know, we spoke earlier about Romans 6, 3 and 4 not being about water baptism, although water baptism is symbolic of this, which is the substance of, the only redeeming value of water baptism is that it depicts this and illustrates it. But he says here, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's by God, right? In putting it's a divine work, isn't it? In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Ah, that's how it happens, huh? Amen. There it is right there. By the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also also ye are risen with him. There's a resurrection through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and now is raising us from the dead, brother. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Circumcision and baptism in Paul's epistles are just counterparts with each other. They're both basically the same thing. Circumcision is having your old man stripped off of you, and baptism is having you being put into Christ. So we're in Christ as a result of spirit baptism, and the flesh is stripped off of us. The old man is put off through circumcision of heart. So they go together, and they're right there found in that same verse in Colossians 2, 11 and 12. And Todd, I want to close with this one. Notice the word fellowship here in Philippians 3, 10. This is a beautiful verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's speaking right now of a fellowship with him and his resurrection. That's not talking about the sweet by and by. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That is a death to self that we're made in conformity to, Todd.
Amen, brother. Conform to the image of Christ, Romans chapter 8. Boy, that just really wraps this all together, brother, this tapestry of these scriptures, as the Spirit alone could be leading. You know, all of these things are working together for the good, not for the bad. And that's Romans 8, 28 and 29.
Absolutely.
They're all working together for the good. And, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to try to resist that, which God is wanting us not to. It's working. These things that are happening in your life, friend, in my life, they're working together for the good. To those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And then listen to the next words, which we often don't tie together. We quote Romans 8:28. That's fantastic. It's the word of God. But listen to the next sentence. For whom he did foreknow, he foreknew. God foreknows all things. He doesn't tamper with man's will. But foreknowing that you would call upon him to be saved, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the crucified life, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
Travis.
The crucified
he came to
life.
Die. Amen. He came to die, didn't he? So he predestinated those whom he foreknew to, this is the predestination right here, predestined to the cross. Jesus, from the foundation of the earth, was crucified for us. And he did also predestinate us, folks, to be conformed to the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And there, brother, is the resurrection, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, the disciples, they wanted for him to get them positioned in heaven next to the Father. You know, they were all about exaltation, and they wanted to achieve this position. And he comes back with this, says, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And can you be baptized into the baptism? He ain't talking about water there, Todd. He's talking about the cross. So he's saying to them, you must participate. I'm opening the way. I'm carving out the path to God. But are you willing to drink the cup? And are you willing to be baptized into my death?
Amen, brother. There cannot be a resurrection until there is a death. Brother Travis, we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. This all continues to bring up the things from the scriptures that I've read for several decades every day now, but they're coming alive more and more as we begin to see the cross in the scriptures and to begin to put in the gospel and have the gospel in us every day in death, burial, and resurrection. And I really like the way John the Baptist put it. Father, and folks, if you're listening to this program and you know this is scriptural, this is biblical, and you're perhaps sensing the Holy Spirit ministering to you in this, this might be a great prayer today in a practical sense to just say, Lord, just get along with God, throw your hands up and say, Lord, and just thank him for saving you in your own words, and then say, Lord, you must increase today. I must decrease. Notice what comes first there. It didn't say, and this is by divine reason and ordination, it didn't say, I must decrease so God can increase. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the initiating grace of God that finds us to participate in this life with Christ. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to increase, he allows us and blesses us and gives us the divine ability to participate in being conformed to the image of Christ, to be dead and buried so that he can raise us up in new life, in resurrection power. Remember, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The raising up power of God. I warn you that when you begin to walk in this and you get a taste of it and you taste and see that the Lord is good, you're going to become addicted to the life of Christ, the resurrection life of the risen Son of God with power, teeming in you, anointing you, and blessing you, just as we see Jesus when he came out of the desert, a type of the cross, before the actual cross. He came in the power of the Spirit, Matthew, I believe it is, or Luke 4:14. He came out of that desert in resurrection power and anointing, and his ministry began. Many of the folks that are listening to me do ministry. It's a great desire. God has called us to serve him. But this has to be done through the cross so that it's all God and it separates. That cross separates us from the self-life so that Christ alone can reign. And that's when pure ministry that only God can do through in and through us, but he has to do it in me before he can do it through me. Brother, this is fascinating. I can't tell you how excited I am for the thing. We're just getting started on this thing, as you know better than I. We've got a few seconds left. Brother Travis, if you don't mind closing us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, let this message soak down into the very bones and the marrow and the minds of these listeners, Lord. Lord, make us all ambassadors for the cross that would proclaim the cross as the center of the gospel, and that Christ died. For we have determined to know nothing among us but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, thank you for the cross, and thank you for this Safeguard Your Soul ministry that is allowing this message to go out. And I pray you'd bless all proclaimers of the cross. Lord, give us courage, because the devil will come against us. We know you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.